Hulu is coming in hot this month with new shows, new movies, and all new seasons of your faves. Don't miss FX's Clipped, the story of one NBA team's racial reckoning, starring Lawrence Fishburne. Stream a new season of Shoresy, the underdog hockey comedy that might just knock your teeth out. Then catch the high-speed drama Ferrari, starring Adam Driver and Penelope Cruz. Kick your streaming into high gear this month with so much new stuff to watch on Hulu.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Gotta try something. Like he says, I mean, I won't go Adam Bernero, but you know, yeah. He's either going to figure out a new role for himself pretty quickly or that it's a wrap. It's a wrap, any kid. And he's kind of a look reliever. Like, you can kind of view him that way. So, you know, whatever. They should try it at least. I don't know.
Yeah, and the bullpen did not do too well in Toledo this week either as a bullpen. But one bat that continues to be consistent across the board is Dylan Dingler, who has just been striking out less and hitting with power.
Yeah.
It's been a very positive development. I will say that, you know, obviously it's still only May, but if the Tigers do kind of what they did last year, where they bring up, you know, when they expand to the 28-man roster in September, where they bring up one prospect and one random reliever, yeah. I could see that prospect being Dingler, honestly, because he's on the 40-man already. And it never hurts to have a third catcher down the stretch. And we used to complain all the time about his inconsistency, and he's really been solid for the last couple of weeks. So it's been a very nice development.
And one thing about Dingler, too, is that defensively, we talked about this before. We talk about this every week. Dingler's game is there defensively. You don't have to worry about that too much.
Yeah.
So I don't know about Brandon. What about you? In terms of seeing Dingler, you think before September?
You probably will see him before September just because catchers usually have an injury. Somebody will get injured, you know, and he'll immediately get a look. So I'm sure you'll see him this summer. The thing I was just looking was to how much better it was in May, and yeah, 909 OPS in May compared to 701 in March, April, or in April. So that there's confirmation that something really has changed for him there. You know, we've always known he could hit some tape measure shots and stuff, but he just likes he's picking better pitches to swing at. He's laying off a little bit of tougher stuff. Maybe using the ABS and just the tighter strike zone in general to his advantage. But that seems to be getting him in the zone more himself, you know, to take swings on. And he's doing plenty of damage, which we knew he could do, but he's starting to hit a little bit more complex sequencing, starting to hit better breaking balls a little bit more. We need to see it extend, but I feel at least more encouraged. I pretty much had penciled him in as basically a Jake Rogers, you know, level hitter and kind of just somewhere different style, but similar results. And that's probably still where he is. But, you know, if he can keep this going, he is a pretty solid fastball hitter and has been doing better against velocity and breaking balls. And that's what you're looking for. So. And I don't worry about his defense at all. You know, his defense, I think, is pretty much rock solid and would only get better with Cinco and AJ screaming in his ear.
Yeah, the weather was bad down in the Midwest. There was a series of storms that came through enough to where it canceled the Indianapolis 500 on Sunday. And I think they postponed the race till today, I believe, although I don't know who watches the Indianapolis 500 anymore. But for those race fans out there, as far as other pitchers go, Madden pitch this week, was it he was banged up, Chris? Is that what it was?
I'm sorry, what? Who?
Madden?
I don't know. I think he was scheduled to pitch yesterday and they got rained out. I think that's what happened. But I didn't look into it. I didn't really even notice it until I looked at the stats. I'm like, huh, he didn't pitch.
Yeah, because I didn't know Lockhart got called up until the other day. And it was just kind of randomly happened. And among all that, too, Montero is a guy we'll be keeping a close eye on. And you mentioned his stats here that he hasn't had any five-inning starts yet. He has pitched better as of late. Again, I'm not really concerned about it, but does lean towards maybe possible reliever profile at this point in some ways. I don't want that to happen because I really want him to be a starter. But at this, the Tigers are going to have to, consider any single possibility to get what they can out of their system right now. And it'll be a possibility. Who knows?
Yeah. He's kind of pitching like Reese Olson to me a little bit, like, you know, missing too much with the fastball. You know, he's obviously struggled a little bit to handle the a little tighter strike zone and stuff like that, but he's not, really gotten hit that hard. Still striking out a solid amount of dudes, but you know, yeah, the walks and, you know, pitching in too much trouble, wasting too many pitches, not getting ahead of batters, the same things we've been waiting for him to, you know, kind of develop on, you know, probably since last summer, really. I mean, he kind of came on late last year, but, you know, I just haven't seen a whole lot of progress. Like, he looks good for the most part, but he still will just get out of whack for, you know, a couple batters or an inning and take some damage. So he's still got work to do. But yeah, I mean, I would love to see him work with Fetter. I mean, I'm kind of happy to move anybody up just to kind of give them some finishing school with Fetter and Lund and Nieves up there. So if they wanted to try that, I'm not opposed to it. It doesn't mean he can't go back ever, but I've just always like really tried to emphasize like how durable he's been and how consistently he's held his velocity. Cause I still think people look at, you know, 6'1", 145 on his yeah. card and think like, oh, he's just a little guy. He'll never make it as a starter, you know? So yeah, I mean, they could try that. I'd like to see a little bit better precision with the fastball before I think that's going to work at the major league level, even out of the bullpen though.
Yeah, it does. It just feels like he's like one or two tweaks away from getting it back again. Like, yeah, I put that in there because he was just so consistent last year. He was giving up hits and runs in Toledo, but he was going 5-6 innings every outing, five innings at least in his final 16 starts in 2023, and hasn't done it yet this year. Now, some of that may have been, you know, this, they wouldn't let him early on, but lately it seems like he's getting the pitch count up and struggling. And yeah, I mean, if they really desperately need a bullpen arm, I bet you he could come up and it might be kind of fun to watch him air it out a little bit with the two breaking balls and just kind of shelve the changeup for now. But and he's a guy I think you could go back to starting later on. But I guess there's no desperate need to do that right now. I mean, the bullpen's ugly, but you don't really know what you're going to get from Montero out of the bullpen either. So it's probably no need to do that yet.
Yeah, we have to bring up Trey Wingenter and, you know, a couple other guys to like prove Sean once Gunter. Again that they can't quite do it. Yes.
Yeah, there's so many other guys I'll probably throw out there first before that happens. But, you know, there's somebody out there thinking that because there was somebody who, like, there was another comment to them on, we had Montero too high on our list. Whatever.
Yeah.
This is what it is. So Seawolves again, Altoona. Oh, you know, I forgot to change this. They don't play Altoona next week. Sorry. You're not play at Altoona. Greg will kill me for that. And I know better. So that being said, the Seawolves are on the road this week. As they again, great walk-up college this weekend. They are at Richmond again. It seems like they just went to Richmond, but then they come home next week and they'll take on the Fisher Cats. So the Blue Jays AAA affiliate. So that's going to triple A affiliate. Well, double A affiliate next week. But so Trey Cruz, like I mentioned earlier, just mashing the ball all over the place. Belmont Jerry, by the way, top five in the Tiger system in batting average too. I was just doing some batting average stuff earlier.
Really?
Yeah. Batting 277. He's like fifth or sixth in the system right now in batting average. Finally putting together a good year out there. Ray Allen provided him and Lee provide the only power for the Seawolves. Again, the Seawolves have a very different looking lineup in terms of from an offensive standpoint, but Troy Melton in his first, I mean, he got rocked a little bit. And so it was just a lot. That's again,
two outings in a row.
Mm-hmm. But also Altoona, to be fair, I think Altoona had like, I mean, they have guys like Seth Beers and former Tiger Tustin Peterson. It's more of a veteran team. It's not, I don't know. I thought they were kind of stacking the deck a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, I'd just say that a couple of, like, he was hanging some sliders, like a couple of something like, oh no, that pitch is not going to work. But yeah, I think you're right. It was, you know, you got some grizzled veterans there. Seems like Altoona always did that. Didn't they have a couple 30-year-olds last year when we saw them? Like, what are these guys doing hitting here? But I guess that's just the way it goes.
Yeah. Yeah, from what it looked like, it was just, dropping some breaking balls right into the sweet spot of right. It was all right-handed hitters, if I remember right. Just, you know, leaving breaking balls down and in, up in the zone to them. A couple fastballs right in that same spot. where he's trying to go up more. And yeah, they didn't miss him this time. So, and that's what he needs, is to kind of get hit up. You know, we said the same thing about Jobe a little bit, but Melton too, like, pretty much cruised through West Michigan last year. So taking some damage and forcing him to reassess, you know, is probably a good thing. The breaking ball is still pretty inconsistent. Sometimes he breaks off a really, really nasty one, and other times it's sort of blunt. So I'm not 100% convinced that they've really settled on the final option there, and that'll probably keep getting tweaked and stuff. The changeup, though, I thought last year was pretty good, and this year it's been a pretty erratic, you know, non-weapon a lot of the time. So, yeah, he's got some things to work on, and is finally starting to get stressed a little bit by the double A level. So that's probably all for the best for him. So,
yeah, for the record, this is the line. The last line is his. That's the line he had soon. Not this one. So I forgot to delete that one. That's my fat. That's my bad. As far as Jobe's coming back, there has been talk about. I think I saw something earlier about that, right? That he is.
He threw a bullpen, I think, Saturday. Yeah. So he should be working his way back, I would guess, you know, in a week or two into a rehab assignment.
As Sam, the other broadcaster, Greg, said, please give us a prospect or two. Erie is it's still, hey, overall, they're third place. They're doing pretty well. And they have a big series against Richmond. And from there on out, the first half is not too far away too. So it's because draft time's coming up, and we'll be doing, like I said, we'll be doing some draft stuff soon. We're just finished updating our top 30. Chris just, we just did, has to freshen up the workman report that he did, and should be good to go from there. I just finished a report on Blake Dickerson. And so I didn't have much work with, but still, either way, the reports are coming in. The Whitecaps against Lake County this week. Roberto Campos just man among boys. Just 11 for 22, four doubles, four doubles, three triples, and I'm an idiot. Yeah, just don't mind me. Sorry, I'm just like I put together a little Campos. Little compost compilation a little bit here. So I wanted to show what he's been able to do this week. And of course, now I can't find it. It's the kind of day I'm
compilation.
Compilation.
Yeah, he was really, wearing them out. He had a good week. It was a strange series. I think twice in that series, Lake County hit like late go ahead grand slams. Like, oh, come on. Like, cut it out. And one of them was Alex Mooney. You're like, eh. Yeah. Campos, I don't know, like you're seeing a lot of good signs there. The strikeout rate is still high because, again, I think because that one week with the 14 strikeouts, but
yeah, here it is. Just
He's just wearing out that left field corner.
Yeah, you just see how much he's pulling the ball in the air, like we've been begging him.
Exactly. Yeah. If he's going to pull the ball in the air, that's where I think, you know, a couple more weeks of this you may have a change of address.
And I also think, you know, maybe that strikeout rate is a little bit a part of also of him trying to do this, you know, more aggressively, because his pull percentage is way up, and you know, and that can mess with your approach in general at first. So just learning to settle into it, not force it.
I will say the one thing too, defensively, he's been getting better. I mean, he's been in terms of, like, I would have to get some more. I'll hear what Dan Hasty would have to say about seeing Campos on a regular basis on his defense, because I know that's one thing that he's been really needing to work on. And from what limited I have seen him, he's done pretty well. But
And it was never about physical tools with him on defense, right? It was more about the judgment and the decision making and stuff, because he had that great catch over the wall in right field earlier a couple weeks ago. And as you said, you know, he's running better. I don't know. It's been nice to see. That's for sure.
And he's only 21. You know, I keep feeling like he's been around a long time, and he's just getting started. He's you know, could easily be at Lakeland and would be fine for the level. So,
yeah,
he could be playing for Arkansas.
Yeah,
is that where we've gone?
No, I don't know. I'm just picking a random, you know, SEC school, right? Like he could be a college junior.
Yep.
Yeah.
An LSU
Tiger. Jaden Hamm, by the way, just because he threw 32 pitchers, 32 pitcher. Wow. I'm getting tired. I don't know. What is with me tonight? 32 pitches in one inning, which is why he only pitched one inning, correct? Or one inning, correct?
Yeah. That's a, we've talked about this before, but we also got a lot of questions, and it's a policy at least through double A. It may be in triple A too, depending on who the pitcher is. I think they would let Matt Manning throw 35 pitches or whatever, but when you're dealing with prospects, if they throw 30 pitches an inning, that's it. They're out of the game. Doesn't matter. We've seen that happen. Saw it happen with Wilmer Flores in West Michigan a couple years ago. Saw it happen with Ty Madden in Erie last year, I think. They don't, that's their limit for guys. Like, they don't want to push it after that. And, you know, that's fine. If you're going to have a policy, you might as well, you know, try to err on the side of caution and not push guys if they're being overworked. So, and actually, I think Ham got two outs relatively quickly in that inning, and that was like a walk and like two 10-pitch at bats, and that was it.
Yep. Didn't give up a run. So,
yeah.
So I had that going for him.
Yeah.
In terms of even like just, he's like top five in the system now in batting average too. So he is, the one thing about Campos is.
Oh, Campos.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Real quick before, because we had a question on Campos separately. Just in terms of how he's been able to see the ball better, air, the interest of his ground ball rate, we talked about this last week, has been cut down. The ball's been going more in the air. So those are things that factor into it. It's just what the only thing you have to work like. So if he can do this in Erie, then you have something cooking there, because then again, Erie to me is the ultimate test. Double A is where you want to be. And if you can hit double A pitching and be somewhat consistent with it with power, then you become, yeah, you get much more noticeable on radar maps across the board.
You bring that swing to Erie, you're going to be winning a bunch of people's snowblowers.
Yeah. Oh, what's it? Who's the snowblower company that does it?
I think it's Arians.
Yeah, Arians. Yeah.
I don't. You know, it cracks me up. Yeah, they. You know, you take your sponsors you can get, right? You know, Milk Means More, whatever. And they have it's the Duskus Martin double play there at Erie, and I always just want to be like, yeah, it's a funeral home, and I'm like, Duskus Martin, when you need two bodies eliminated with no questions asked, it's Duskus Martin.
So yeah, it's snowblowers. Yeah, Arians is spelled Arians. That is the snowblower they have over in, I believe it's left field. Yeah, so it's in the power alley. So yeah, if you're hit over there, you should be hooked up. Greg would have more of the details on that. The average age in double A, I believe, is 23, I want to say.
That sounds about right. I'm checking right now. Yep. But yeah, it's usually, I think that's 23, maybe like 23 and a half, something like that.
Yeah. I guess the question is, Roberto Campos, Luke Gold, how soon do you guys think they're going to be promoted? I would see it's kind of coming up. If they're both still kind of doing what they're doing for another couple of weeks, you'd expect to see them in June, right?
Well, that was, we were actually texting each other about that. And it felt like, you know, if you're going to get a McGonagall Clark promotion to West Michigan, then the two people who might go up to Erie for them would be, you got an outfielder and an infielder, it would be Campos and Gold.
Yeah.
It would make sense. But then it's, I don't know what you're doing in double A, who's going away, who's going to triple A, but, it does feel like, I don't know, last year, I don't think we got most of the promotions until closer into mid-June. That just feels like the time when they do it. But some of these, I tweeted it out today and it was mostly just kind of clickbait. But yeah, I think we are getting close to some guys moving up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Campos more than Gold. I think Gold, based off the consistency and also the fact that here's why, where are you going to put Gold? I mean, that's a reason why you keep him in West Michigan versus. You can see maybe Balgeri, you can see somebody like that getting called up to AAA. As far as the infield goes, Hayu Lee's been getting some time at third. I saw him, he started at third on Thursday or on Friday. He made a play, had plenty of time, and then just overthrew it. So the range was there. It was just kind of strange to go, what the hell was that? And that was when Garrett Hill was making his first appearance at Seawolves uniform, where he had kind of a more simple windup. Like, it was more like he just was like kind of like, and then the guy next to me is like, hey, that guy always looked like he makes it like throwing 96 so easy. And I said no, I think if you get a chance, if you put, like, let's say you put Trey Cruz at AAA, for example, if he goes up to Toledo, then you move Workman over at short, you have Lee at third, and then you keep what you have over there at second, first.
Yeah. So, I mean, some of these guys are just getting too old. Like Trey, you know, I don't really even care how Trey Cruz is doing. Like he's doing better. So he kind of needs to move up. Like he just needs to find out. He's 25. You know, some of these guys are going to start just getting squeezed just by the nature of them having been around too long. And I mean, Workman's not too far from that either. Like while things are going well and he's made these changes and he's developing, I think it's a good idea to just kind of let it roll for another month or 6 weeks, something like that. But eventually you kind of have to start finding out. And, you know, I kind of feel a little bit that way about Gold too. Like, I think he can stay at West Michigan and just keep doing what he's doing forever, but I'm not really seeing a whole lot change for him. And then there's also Keston Hura at AAA who, you know, at the end of the month might leave. I mean, I think he's got the option to bounce. Maybe then Myers or Holton moves up, something like that, you know, and then there's a spot for Gold. But as you say, as we're, you know, as should be clear, by the way, we're talking about this, it all kind of is interrelated. And so you have to, yeah, kind of have to see move lead to the other.
There are some guys in AAA that, you know, like Riley Unroe, I don't think might be long for this organization. Yeah. It's the way it goes. But
and Navigato, you know, isn't going to be a priority. So if he ends up bouncing between AA and, you know.
That's true. Yeah, he could come back here. But yeah, you know, and I just special note for Dom Johnson, who I think, you know, every time he's come up to West Michigan before his struggle, and he finally seems to be figuring some things out, which is kind of fun because he's a speedy spark plug type outfielder. Like if him and Stevenson are both doing what they can do, that's a real bummer for the other team at the top of the lineup because they're very fast and you know, getting on base.
Yeah, they wreak a lot of chaos for sure when they're doing well. So that's fun.
Yeah, it is good to see that when there's the possibility of those guys, especially Stevenson and Johnson being like the fast guys, if you will, that does help out quite a bit because the rest of the bats this week at West Michigan, Pacheco, man.
It's still waiting for any kind of consistency. Well, consistent good from him.
Yeah. I tried to frame him mentally as like, okay, where Wenzel and Parker were like 2 years ago, but they were still better. They never struck out, you know, quite like this. So more of a workman comp maybe is accurate, but, and Pacheco's what, 21 still, but it's just hard to see how it's going to happen.
Yeah. I mean, I think Johnny Five has a better chance to get the major league.
No, disassemble Stephanie.
Yeah.
Ali Sheedy. Oh, those 80s hair.
Yeah. Oh man. You know, so weird that it's just 2 years removed from her doing Breakfast Club. Yep. And there she is in this strange looking hair. Like, what was that movie with Dustin Hoffman? Harriet? Or what's the movie where he plays across? Tootsie.
Yeah.
It looks like she's got a Tootsie wig on there. All right.
They mommed her and she was only like 22 at that point.
No, that's like in the 80s, you had to be able to play 16 and also 38.
Yeah. Somehow Elizabeth Shue in Adventures of Babysitting at that point was like in her third, like late 20s, but she was like 19 years old in that movie.
Yeah.
By the way, hardcore Elizabeth Shue crush. All right.
Right in there with Jamie Gertz and a few others. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, definitely. So the Flying Tigers, Chris. Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, lots of walks.
I'm going to get some drink real quick.
Lots of hits, lots of steals. We saw, you know, I've kind of mildly complained about Max Clark's swing a few times, but he seemed to figure out something small where he's now, instead of hitting the ball on the ground the other way, he's just lining it down the left field line the other way consistently, which is a lot of fun. And he and McGonigal are just a terror at the top of that lineup right now. They're both walking a ton. They're driving in runs like crazy from the 1 and 2 spot. I think Clark has 30 RBIs this year. You see McGonigal had 8.
Yeah,
just a lot of fun to watch both of those kids play. And I put it there because it's fun that they both have a 138 WRC plus in May. They're like almost identical players right now.
Yeah.
People keep asking, are they going to go up? And it's like, yeah, I would think at some point soon they may. This may be one of those situations where they do want them to try to play for that playoff spot there, even if they won't be there, just to play in games that mean something. But who knows? Maybe whatever benchmarks they have internally. And one of the things I'll point out, and you can see there, Rainer Castillo's line there, that his first start, 5 innings, 3 hits, no runs, a walk, 2 strikeouts, a couple things. One of the cool things, and I think Raj touched on it earlier, he basically had no trouble until his final inning when he loaded the bases with one out. and he got down 2-0 on the batter. And he's like, all right, well, whatever. And he threw 96, 97, 98, three straight pitches, swing and miss, got the guy out. I'm like, okay, we'll do that more.
Yeah.
There's still no change up really to speak of, and the breaking balls are a little bit inconsistent, but it's like you're throwing an awful lot of strikes for a guy sitting 96, touching 98. It's like there's something to work with there. But in that, you can watch that outing. You get three pretty good chances from Kevin McGonigal at shortstop, and looks pretty good. Yeah. Like the one question, like you see, he's got the timing, he's got the hands, he's got the arm strength. It seems like the only question I don't know about his range. That would be the one big question. But yeah, I don't know. Just a lot to like going on there with Lakeland, and even the college guys are producing like crazy. You see, Jim Jarvis had an awesome week. He's been great in May. So yeah,
early Brett return. Callahan. Yeah. A bunch of guys like late in the order have been getting on base a ton, you know, and that's where all those RBIs are coming from. Smith and Callahan, Samuel Hill's been doing well. So,
yeah. You know, one of the other things I looked at, I was just, this is more like an inside the numbers thing that we would use on the other show, but I was like, all right, so the Tigers have 4 19-year-olds playing regularly in the lineup. I mean, Briseño's hurt right now with the knee issue, which is unfortunate, but, and I was like, all right, how many 19-year-olds have, you know, 100 plus plate appearances and have a WRC plus over 100 in low A, and it's 42 and the Tigers have four of them, all four of the Tigers regulars, and they're all in the top 24. So Clark, McGonigal, Briseño, and Heal all are among the most productive 19-year-olds in A-ball, which is kind of fun. It's been a while since we could say anything like that for the Tigers.
Oh yeah. Right now. Yep. And yeah, and you see a lot of good arms down there, like a lot more stockpile of like power arms than I've ever seen. So from the bullpen, Tweezy, Yosber Sanchez, to a lot of the starters that they drafted last year are, you know, at least like look like they have the potential to be high 90s guys eventually.
Or a guy too, like Evans as well. That's a power arm that could potentially still early on, but
somebody pointed out it.
Pardon me?
Sorry. Somebody, Stugatz was pointing out Santana hasn't been playing recently. Yeah, that's a question mark. He has not played since May 12th, and I don't believe he's listed on the injured list or on any injury reports. So I don't really know what's going on there.
I can ask Terry, because Terry, who's Tiger Minor League tracker, she might have some insights about that. So I should actually shoot her a DM. They're playing in Clearwater this week, which is a big game for them because they're chasing Clearwater right now for the first half title. But there's a couple arms too. You mentioned too, Andrew Sears, who's just been, outside the walks a little bit still. I mean, you gotta be encouraged with that. And we've talked about Thomas Bruss before, is still having some command issues, but what is it? Hiker is, I don't say his name.
Hiker Weezy.
8 innings this month, just one hit given up, one walk, and 9 strikeouts.
Yeah.
Yep. The month of May, so
he looks good. And Zach Lee, that guy that, you know, undrafted, I think free agent from last summer, he's looked pretty good. Sears has that funky lefty angle going, and looks pretty impressive. There's some real arms down there.
And then I just highlighted a couple interesting things down there. The relievers, was just going through the Statcast data, and Quinn Gooditis has a very high spin slider. It gets up to 3,000 pretty regularly. And Blake Pivaroff, who I was like, I think they took him in the 19th round last year out of Arizona State, and his fastball is like 91, 92, but it's got crazy spin for a four-seam fastball, that velocity. It's, I don't know, you know, it just, like, they took him probably just because of that, like, well, this is interesting. He also got a high-spin cutter, but just a couple, you know, fun projects down there that they can work with.
Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully develop those guys, build them up a little bit, add some velocity, and go from there, so. But yeah, it's been pretty impressive. There's just not so many guys down there where you're just like, okay, write that guy off, write this guy off, the way it used to be. You know, just about everybody you can kind of see something to work with. So yeah, it's just a much, much different system than it used to be. And the impact of last year's draft is being felt for sure all over the place.
Before we move on to Lakeland, Walter wanted to know, we didn't talk about the Gargo promotion. We did talk about this a little bit Thursday, and basically, I mean, I'm not saying not being promoted to a different title doesn't mean anything. He was touring the minor leagues. I think, he was touring the minor leagues last week. As far as, was it imply anything impactful, anything? No, he's just continuing to do the great work that he's doing.
My only thought is that the only thought is that teams are probably sniffing around him a little bit.
Yes.
And you have to promote him to make it harder for them to hire him, because they have to hire him to a higher level in the way those front office jobs are laid out. Yeah. So, if someone wants him to be their assistant general manager and VP, they have to ask the Tigers now to interview him. They could only offer him like a GM job. And the Tigers would have to be like, well, all right, you can interview for that. So it just kind of, I just think it's just to lock him down.
Yeah. And they made Giblin. She was also made a VP, and then they added a new head of analytics, I think it was.
Yeah.
Right. Andrew Thomas.
Yeah. It sounds right.
And he comes from hockey. Yeah. And he's a hockey guy, maybe sort of like Greenberg's contacts with the Blackhawks might've hooked him up there. But I guess Andrew Thomas was one of the first guys to like apply, to create a war stat for hockey. And to kind of build out a publicly facing site where you could kind of see all this data, and everybody who worked for that site got hired up really quickly as analysts and have been a big part of building analytics departments all over the league. So that could be a really good hire. It's kind of interesting to go into a different sport. I wonder if he gets confused sometimes. Do we need to get bigger in the blue line, or is it the bullpen?
Yeah, but I mean, you guys are exactly right. Right. Like this, I don't think any of their jobs change substantially at all. It's just an increase in status and presumably a decent chunk of change, right? But it is to prevent other people from poaching them, right? So good on the org for being able to do that. Yeah,
Chris Ellis, spending money.
Yeah, there you go. And then Stephen, to answer Stephen's question, I wonder if there's more hiring power for his staff. Stephen, he's done a really good job of hiring people already, so I don't think it doesn't change that much to him. But he continues to really implement. Like I said, there's just been a lot of things that he's implemented that are common sense everywhere else, but have not been part of Detroit's MO for forever. I mean, again, this is an organization, and this goes back further than the David Dombrowski era. This goes back to when Randy Smith took over back in 1995. The Tigers farm system has always been behind. It's always been behind no matter what. It has been, you could talk about the fruits of labor from the 84 World Series were there. That was all from like two drafts. But after that, it has been very, very, very scarce, if anything, in terms of production from your minor leagues. So the fact that they've been able to modernize it, the fact that they have, things like a program where they're lifting weights or they're sticking to a profile where pitchers are getting like, hey, this is a pitch you're supposed to be working on, individualized plans. Those things are huge. And as much as I know people complain about, well, the farm system hasn't done all this, and there's progress. There's significant progress. And the Dominican Republic complex, too, as well. So it has been a bad thing for a long time. Eddie, thank you for the compliment to the weekly numbers. You do a great snapshot of young players' progress. The development has been bad for a long time. It's gotten better. There's still ways to go, but Ryan Garko has a big part of it. So speaking of that, though, the FCL complex team is in first place, and they're getting production from all over the place, Chris. I mean, there's a guy like Raylan Perez,
he's still 19, right? Yeah,
he's only 19. But one name that we've talked about, two names, Nomar Fana and Fran Yerber Montalella, who have been really they're hitting their stride.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of Enrique Jimenez was their big signing last year, I think, as it were. And he's playing well, hitting a bunch of doubles. He's walking more than he's striking out, which is good to see for a young kid like that. Fana, I don't really know. He plays a lot of center field, but he's built kind of reminds me of Iverson Leonardo. I don't know if people ever saw him, but he's like stout. Like a stout center fielder. You don't normally see that. And he's old, like 21 in the FCL is old. I don't want to like dismiss him out of hand just because of that. But normally if a guy's 21, you want to see him at least in a ball. Maybe he'll be there soon, but Fran Yerber Mantilla is very interesting. He was 2 years in the DSL, which again, you don't necessarily want to see, but he was relatively young. You know, he just turned 17, I think, when the first season started. And so he just turned 19 before this year. And he's putting up numbers and playing shortstop a decent amount. And it's good eye at the plate so far. Definitely a name to remember there. And
I think Animal Salas as well. Another one of the recent IFAs who is one of their bigger expenditures has been pretty good so far, just showing a lot of discipline at the plate, not really doing tons of damage or anything, but, you know, looking like a pretty advanced hitter at this point.
And he's supposed to be pretty tooled up too on defense, like
yeah,
big time arm. That's another one where like last year's international class looks kind of interesting. It's, you know, obviously it's early, you never really know, and you want to see these guys face more competition, but so far so good. So it's kind of exciting down there, and I think we'll get to see tomorrow's game. They play these, they do like home and home games, and they hosted the Phillies today, and usually when they're playing at the Phillies, we get to actually see it on YouTube. So although Mantilla came out of the game today after two at-bats, so it would be a real bummer if we miss him again tomorrow. But
oh no. Did Dickerson pitch today?
He didn't. Wilson pitched today. Okay. He pitched the final four innings of the game, actually. Or at least until I think somebody else came in the 10th because they went to extras.
Oh, yeah.
I did want to address somebody that said that Willie Castro and Cody Clemens lays to improve elsewhere. I don't know. They're part-time players. They're not players that are, I mean, they're good role players. Put them under full-time status. Where are they? They're just.
Neither one of them was a Garko guy anyway, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Like, so I don't understand.
By the time Garko got here. Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, it's, they're former Tigers that were part of the system, but I mean, if that's a far cry from guys that are long gone. I mean, look at the list goes on and on. Former Tiger, like just, yeah. It's,
I mean, the frustrating thing with Willie Castro is that as soon as he got to Minnesota, he seemed to discover some form of plate discipline, which he had none of here. And I don't know if that was, but we saw that forever with like every player that El Avila ever acquired was like, they just went after guys who could put the bat on the ball and didn't have them walk at all. It was like, what?
Yeah.
And normally you don't think of somebody who's been able to develop at that, but it was year over year. Castro was like 3-5% walk rate with the Tigers. And he goes to Minnesota. It's instantly 8%. You're like, well, that's league average. That would work if you had done that here. But I don't know. I don't know if they taught him something in Minnesota or if he found something himself. It's that part's frustrating, but what are you going to do?
I mean, we know AJ Hinch was harping on him about it. So maybe that's it. You know, there was no emphasis on plate discipline throughout the whole system. And then you get to the major leagues and your manager's just like pissed at you all the time because you're swinging at junk, you know, and it's a big adjustment. That could very well be kind of what it looked like from Willie Castro's perspective. Like nobody said anything about this. And now I'm up at the major leagues and everybody's just screaming at me to take walks. And I don't, you know, that kind of thing can take a lot of adjusting to do. So.
Yeah, I mean, and with the Phillies, with the case of Cody Clemens, you're playing on the best team that the Phillies have had historically ever. And so when you're
I don't even care about Cody Clemens.
So. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm saying like 35 at bats. Yeah,
Andre Lipsius is tearing it up for the Dodgers, boys. It's over.
Yeah, I mean, Clemens has three home runs and he's hitting .294. But like you said, 36 plate appearances. He's 28 year old, playing first base.
His wife will yell at you if you don't say anything nice about
him. If he's playing well, then I'm happy for Cody Clemens, right? But it was.
Well, I'm talking about Andre Lipsius. Somehow his wife has taken this really weird turn on. You guys have always said like.
She complained about us?
No, just in general, like, just complain.
Let's not talk about family members. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, whatever. It's each own.
It's a hard business to be married into. I mean, it's whatever. I sent Colt Keith's mom a note the other night because I was like, I know it's been rough. You know, everybody's screaming at your kid and stuff.
Eddie, I don't know what you're talking about with Riley Green. Riley Green's been very significantly good. I mean, you can take you silly will about Torque, but.
Riley Green was slumping for 3 weeks. And what's going to happen is he's going to come out of that slump and hit like 400 for about 3 weeks. And everybody is going to carry the team again. Cause how old was Riley Green? 23. Yeah. 23 years old. And it was funny. Evan Petzold wrote an article, I think, where Riley Green was trying to figure it out. And he talked to his hitting specialist or whatever. He's like, dude, you're just super late on everything. And he's like, oh, all right. It's like, oh, yep, that was it. I figured it out. But then he didn't play. Oddly, you know, they score 14 runs. He doesn't even get in the game. But
somebody tell Torkelson the same thing. But yeah, I thought it was a little bit interesting that Riley didn't get in as a pinch hitter late in that game. I think if we look at Willie Castro and Isak Paredes, like both of them were guys who had like a specific thing that they couldn't fix and that the Tigers probably didn't really start getting on them to correct until they reached the major leagues. And, you know, AJ was all over Paredes to hit the ball to left field and to pull the ball in the air. He couldn't do it the first year with AJ. He gets traded. He figures it out. You know, Willie Castro, probably the same deal. They were on him. You know, he had a really good short season in 2020 and we were all impressed, but that was also pretty Babbitt driven. And then they started getting on him to be more selective and he couldn't do it. And they finally gave up on him and it worked out for him so far with the Twins. And that's fine. The problem with getting rid of Willie Castro and Jamer Candelaria was not letting those guys go. It was that they didn't get anybody better. I thought they were going to replace them with players. And that was the point, I thought. So anyway.
Yeah, they got nothing for him.
Yeah, sometimes these things happen.
Okay, this is the last thing I'll address with this. Kirkwood improved another team with fresh ideas. If he doesn't want to change his swing mechanics and the team has asked him to do, then how is that team's, how's the Tigers' fault then?
If yeah, he doesn't I mean, want. There might be a wake up call in it, but yeah, it's not like they haven't told him, you know, he's late.
Over and over and over again. And it's to the point where when you go down there, you don't ask him about it because he doesn't want to talk about it. And I've been there.
They have three hitting coaches. They don't prevent guys from working with outside coaches. We're still waiting on them to develop a bunch of good hitters. But I don't think, they're just nincompoops now who aren't helping, trying to help guys. It's Torkelson has some issues. We saw when he was on last year, it was working great, right? It's been off most of this year. I don't think that's a lack of the Tigers trying to help him or trying to figure him out, like figure it out. Maybe, I don't know, like you see this with baseball sometimes, guys don't really get things going until their late 20s. I saw somebody talk about Phil Nevin, sometimes sluggers just, it takes them a while to figure it out. We've compared Torkelson to like Brent Rooker. He may just be a streaky kind of guy like that. So I don't know. Like
Julio Rodriguez has already had big success in the majors and has struggled, you know, and maybe he just let it slip a little bit, didn't work as hard in the offseason. Who knows? But it can be very easy to lose that little bit of an edge for sure. And I don't know. Right. I don't know if Torkelson's resistant. I don't really know what it is. All I know is that his hands are still moving back, you know, when the pitch is well on its way. And, you know, seeing that part of it is simple. Correcting it is where the issue lies. And, you know, I don't know if he's fighting it or what is going on there, but the dude cannot hit fastballs right now. And until that issue gets resolved, he's not really a major league player as a first baseman, at least not a starter. And I don't know. I'm kind of getting to the point. I'm not ready to move on from Torkelson or anything, but I am past really worrying about him because he's not going to be a big impact player. You can get a first baseman. You know, Spencer Torkelson is not going to stand in the way of the Tigers' long-term progress, and he's probably not going to contribute that much to it either. And, you know, until something major changes, that's pretty much where it's at.
Hey, I would stand up for Phil Nevin over here. And Phil Nevin's not a good outcome. Yeah, he's like a 15 more player, had a couple 30, 40 home run seasons. Like, yeah, you'll take that. Like,
is Tyler still hot? That's what I wonder.
Yeah, I've talked about we talked about before the average, the dead average 1-1 pick in MLB history is Pat Burrell.
Yeah.
Who was like a 17 more player who hit a bunch of home runs and walked a bunch. He walks more than Torkelson. We kind of thought Tork would walk more than he has, I think.
Yeah, this year especially. Yeah, it's been down a lot.
But that's, you know, we all want 1-1 to look, you know, work perfectly. And it just doesn't, I don't know, just go back and look at drafts. I was looking at the 2017 draft today because I was remembering when I traded in my fantasy league, I traded Casey Mize and Brendan McKay for Jose Ramirez. and you go back and look at the 2017 draft and the best player by war out of that draft is Tanner Houck, who was like 35th or something like that. Like all the, it just, you never know. 1-1 doesn't always mean that you're going to work out.
It's a good argument for keeping your top prospects and trading everyone else. Everyone.
There you go.
at peak value. Get major league players in here.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, if we want to nitpick, I mean, if we're going to continue to nitpick his stats, that he's 2-for-22 and bases loaded. I don't know. Can't win with everybody. And that's as simple as that. If it's either he's going to be good or he's not. He hit 30 home runs last year. That has to count for something. I don't know. I mean, he leads the league he's in the top three in doubles. I mean,
the hitting coaches aren't teaching you how to hit with the bases loaded. That's a brain coach thing.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And then they're not supposed to be teaching you how to hit at all, really, at the major league level. It's just about how to adjust from you know, game to game and pitcher to pitcher, really, you know, for the most part, try to get you on track when your timing's bad and whatever. But, you know, nobody's overhauling your swing unless it's, you know, going really bad and you're actively looking for that help. Because for the most part, guys don't want to hear that in the half hour to hour they have per day to hit in the cage and whatever. So, you know, you're just trying to make tweaks and adjustments for the most part.
Let me just put this thing in perspective for you before we get out of here. Simple as this, okay? I sat through a draft. I sat through a draft class, ladies and gentlemen. The prime of my in high school. Here's what I had to deal with in terms of draft classes. We all had to deal with this. Ready? Eric Munson, 1999. Okay? Mm-hmm. 1999. What'd he do? Jack.
Squat.
He did nothing, mm-hmm. Okay? All right? So, there you go with that. So, as far as, Matt Anderson, you pick a damn reliever as your second pick overall. I mean, come on. I'm like... Yeah.
A college reliever. It wasn't like a starter who became a reliever. He was a college reliever.
A college reliever at a school that was notoriously known to burn out arms at Rice University. Yep. It's still known for that.
No offense. Almost threw 100.
Yeah, no offense.
Eddie, all I can say about that Torx bases loaded thing is, Javier Baez hits great with runners on and runners in scoring position. Is he, do you really want him on your team though? You can kind of nip, you can chop these things up in all kinds of ways.
You can chop these up in all these ones. But the Tigers' development from 20 years ago to now has come a long ass way. So whether you want to go back to that, you want to go back to Matt Anderson, you want to go back to Eric Munson, Jeff Weezer, Nathan Neho, Adam Pettyjohn, go ahead. Take those days. I'm done. All right. Yeah. As far as I'm concerned, I have witnessed the shittiest points of Tiger baseball. Pardon my language, but you can't have it both ways. Okay, you see some sort of progress for once. Just take it for what it is. It's progress. Comparatively speaking to what this was before, this farm, you have Cary Carpenter. No one's talking about Cary Carpenter but us earlier this evening. It's 19th round. I mean, come on. No, it hasn't. What do you mean? What are you talking about? I'm talking to one guy in here, Eddie. Yeah. I'm sorry.
It's not debatable. The pitching, they're
you
totally
ignored the pitching. You haven't mentioned anything about the pitching. Okay. All right, right. The pitching has been poor. Okay, sure. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool.
Yeah,
We're
2 years into Ryan Garko. 30 years before that, there was nothing. We have never seen player development in any capacity in the system until the last 2 years, and Ryan Garko brought it. And I don't know if Ryan Garko is going to turn them into like a really good player development system. All I know is that they're now like above average. Highly respectable, doing certain things really well. And, hopefully they can keep growing from there. But, there's no comparison. There was nobody. I mean, you could have put anybody in to coach 10 years ago and they would have been as good as anything they had.
Yeah.
I mean, there was just nothing going on. There was no coordination. There was no plan. There was no idea of how they were trying to develop each guy, let alone, like, facilities, people who understand how to use pitch design,
technology. They don't know what the hell pitch design was, man.
It's just a bunch of old baseball dudes just standing around, like, throwing BP. I mean, that's all it was.
What they're saying. So, we've had coaches tell us. We've had people tell us. They told Chris and I, just do your thing. What the hell does that even mean? Do your thing. That's what we're told before. The player development, again, I'm not saying it hasn't been bad, Eddie. If you pay attention to what I'm saying, yes, it's been bad for a long time, but it has gotten better. So there's been progress for it.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to ignore the pitching here? Are we going to ignore Cary Carpenter? Are we going to ignore Riley Green? Are we going to ignore Cole Keith, for Christ's sake? What?
Yeah. Not to mention, like, guys who weren't doing anything and then got better, like Parker and Wentzel. Like, very specific examples of where they changed their swing, changed their approach under Garko at their direction and got a lot better.
Yeah, Perez.
Anyway,
thank you, Brandon. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. I was also going to just say to Jeremy Anderson, dude, I love Javi too. I wish this would work out so badly because I really love Javi as a player. Loved him with the Cubs. His story, like everything that he's been through in his life, I would just love to be playing great for us because I would just worship him as my personal shortstop god. But we are where we are. I'm afraid.
So
I would. Deadly Ninja Beast did ask twice. He said, "What's the best Tigers draft of the last 40 years?" And
I did post the 1976 draft, which had Alan Trammell.
Yeah. That's not the last 40 years, though.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, well, wait, 76 would be.
I was born in 1980, and I'm 43.
Oh, Oh shit. Okay. Well, I suck at math. Okay. So
it really, I mean, there was a whole lot of nothing in the 80s and the 90s. You talked about it. Like, it depends on how you define a draft, right? Because if you get that top pick right, like say 2004, and you get a pitcher who's a Hall of Famer, that works okay.
You know what? The 1998 draft might be the best Tigers draft they've ever had. You know why? I'll tell you why. Because if this is bad, but Jeff Weaver, Nate Cornejo, or I'm sorry, Jeff Weaver, Brandon Inge, and that's it. I mean, that, like, as far as, and I'm sorry, Andre Torres was in that draft too.
Oh, yeah.
Remember him? He was a giant Tiger for a little while. yeah, that 1998 draft might be there. The 2000 draft, I'm trying to go back here. The Tigers have had some all-time stinkers. The 2000 draft, they drafted Matt Wheatland out of a right-handed pitcher and Chad Petty back-to-back and Nook Logan, Mark Woodward. Ugh, like just these awful, awful, awful draft. Just okay.
Yeah, I mean,
go ahead, Chris.
Well, it's tough to find, like, I don't know. There are certain drafts where they ended up getting a decent amount of big leaguers. Like 2005, I think they had maybe a dozen guys reach the big leagues. And that was like, I think that was the Brennan Bosch, Cameron Maben, Matt Joyce year. You know, 2018, I mean, we talk about Casey Mize might just be a number four starter. You had the one pick. You know, it's not great, but you also got Parker Meadows. You got Tarek Skubal in that draft. That's not bad. And honestly, like 2019, we were talking about Carpenter and Riley Green. Like, if those two guys hit and become, you know, the force in your middle of your order, that's one of the best drafts in the last 40 years for sure. And they also got Brisky and Brendan White, and Colton Ingram has made the big leagues out of that draft, and Kreidler has, and Lipsius. Yeah. So
not a bad one. Definitely.
That's not a bad one either. You know what? Okay, guys, I want to ask you guys this before we get out of here. I'm going to ask you the 2001 draft. Out of that 2001 draft, this might be a stretch, but how many? I'm gonna ask anybody in the chat too, just in case. How many major leaguers do you think came out of that? There was a stretch of, by the way, there was a stretch of 5 years for the Tigers to got nothing from the first round draft picks. 5 years, five effing years, nothing. Yeah. But the 2001 draft, who do you think came out of that? How many major leaguers think came out of that?
I have no idea. So.
All right,
I'm gonna go two.
You'd be correct, Jack. Okay. Jack Anahan. Who was more known to elsewhere, Mike Rebello and Ryan Rayburn. And Don Kelly. Don Kelly.
Damn it.
Whew. Bonnerman was a trade, I believe. So, I mean.
Yeah, Bonnerman was the A's. That was the famous, wasn't supposed to get picked by the A's, and Billy Beane threw a chair, right? That was the famous. Yeah. And then he was then traded to the Tigers in the Carlos Pena deal for Franklin Herman. And who else was... Yeah. Or no, they got Franklin Mann. Who did they trade? Was that the Jeff? That was the Jeff Weaver trade. What trade wasn't it? Was it a three-team trade?
Yeah. Trade.
I don't remember who went to the A's in that deal.
Bullocks. I used to remember this.
More Pepsi? Yeah. I have no idea. Yeah.
No, besides Jeff Weaver, I mean, who went to the A's from the Cardinals side of the thing, or was it not Cardinals?
With the Yankees, I think.
Yeah, it was the Yankees. Yeah, that's right. It was okay, I got it. So it was Franklin Herman and Carlos Pena to the Tigers. The Yankees sent Jason Arnold, John Ford Griffin, Ted Lilly to the A's. Tigers sent Cash to the A's, and the Oakland sent Jeremy Bonnerman to the Tigers. So that was it.
Anyway.
There you go. All right. On that note, thank you so much for listening. We appreciate that. The 1985 draft. Okay, well, we can go on and on about drafts. Don't forget to check out our Thursday show, the Motor City Metrics podcast, as we'll probably be previewing the Boston series. And don't forget to check out all our great content over at TigersMLReport.com. Our top 30 is updated. We got reports coming out. We got articles. And again, thank you for the donations. We did receive one again, Dan Hasty, voice of the Whitecaps. Thank you. Hopefully you had a good time in Chicago. And Brandon, I didn't even know Brandon off the mic, but
he probably had to get some water. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then as soon as the prospect stuff is done, then it's draft time. You know, we've got, I think the College World Series field was announced today. So we're getting closer. The high point of the college season. You're going to see some guys out there who are going to increase their stock. So look out for your James Tibbses of the world and Christian Bingies and all that.
Yeah, there'll be some draft content from us. Trust me. There'll be a draft show as well. I'm not going to do any jumping in pools this year or anything like that. I'm getting too old for that nonsense. So we'll figure out something else. Maybe pie to the face or something. I don't know.
The full fun. Draft pie to the face.
There's no bad pie to the face. Yeah, you know what? I think people would love a pie to the face. So there we go. Maybe we'll do something like that. Raise money somehow for some charity. But either way, we'll see you next week. Have a good week, everybody.
Night, guys.
What kind of day is it? It's a White Claw day. Light and refreshing tasting. Uniquely cold way filter. There's an iconic flavor for everyone. Come on, grab a pack. White Claw. Grab life by the claw. Please drink responsibly. Hard seltzer with flavor. White Claw seltzer works Chicago, Illinois.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger. For the ones who get it done.